and some more angels and shepherds and magi and all those wonderful things. No sheep. No, no sheep. No sheep. No, well, I don't know. I mean, well, there's sheep there, but I don't know who, I don't think anybody's playing the sheep. All right. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I have the joyous pleasure of being able to share this beautiful story with you guys. If you have been here for Christmas and you've heard Christmas messages, you'll know one thing for certain. At Streams, you're not going to get the atypical, prototypical Christmas story, Christmas message. I kind of gave you a little bit of that last Sunday with Lioness from from Snoopy Christmas. But that's about as much as you're going to get, okay? We talk about one thing at this church, and that is always going to be Jesus. So you get Christmas messages literally all year round when you think about it. But today, we're going to talk about the gift. That's why I'm wearing my Christmas gift tie. See that? Got a little bunch of presents on it. Yeah. We're going to talk about a Christmas gift. So we know that today, being the Sunday before Christmas Eve, that Christmas is upon us, right? And we understand that the reason for the season, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, as they always say, right? But we should take a moment. Nolan was really good, you know, in bringing up a point of remembering the time of the year, the reason for the season, but having that joy, right? Having that abundance of joy, being overfilled with joy. You know, we know who he is. We know he's Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? We know that, right? There's a reality to Jesus in our lives. And if not, you know, it hasn't happened to you yet, you know, then we'll pray. Because having that reality of Jesus in your life, that abundance of joy, all these wonderful things that happen this time of the year is because of who he is to us, right? But it's also a time to reflect. I like to take this opportunity at Christmas to really reflect. I don't wait till New Year's. That resolution stuff, don't do that. That's bad. Because you're lying. Any promise you make at New Year's, you're not going to do it. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. Don't lie. It's just bad. But reflect. Reflecting is good. Reflecting is biblical. And what I like to do is now, at this time of the year, is I like to reflect. I like to take a look at where I was and what God has brought me to. Right? And it's easy to do that, right? Because how many people can remember who they were before Christ? Right? Not the greatest person in the world, probably. Right? Nah. Not many of us were that. Right? But that's what redemption is. That's what happened on the cross. You were redeemed. Amen? Come on, that's exciting. That's a gift in and of itself. You were redeemed. All right? And with that redemption comes a role that you now have to fulfill. There's a great purpose in your life. It's called a destiny. Amen? And each of us, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, not only were you redeemed, but you were given a destiny. And that's what today's really about. Okay? So in order to do that, we're going to kind of have a little bit of a rebuffing of the Christmas story, but a little bit different. Go ahead, Dill, if you can put those scriptures up there. We're back to Luke. Kind of the same chapters and verses, but a little bit more in depth now. Okay? So back to the shepherds, right? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Remember, I bring you good news of great joy." This is awesome, right? That will be for all people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Go ahead, Dill. Should have more. 15 through 18. Oops. Well, look up 15 through 18, and I'll continue reading from my New King James Version Bible. Yes, so it was a little jump. That's why he got a little, didn't see the extra. So let's see here. There we go. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. I like this part because right here in this very beginning story of Jesus, these shepherds represent something tremendous. They represent more than just the normal thing that we know. Like, because if you read Bible and you study and you learn, you know, Jesus is the great shepherd, right? Right? He says he's the good shepherd. He's also referred to as the great shepherd. And so there's always that transliteration in Bible, right? You get that transliteration where they have representation of things that were coming, prophecies, fulfillments, things of that nature. And then here the shepherds are here to see Christ, the newborn king. And there's always that immediate tie. Oh, the shepherd's representing the shepherd that Jesus is going to be. Well, I'm not saying that that's not true. That is true. There's transliteration. But here's what else is awesome about that. Does anybody really know about shepherds? Like what they do? They watch animals. Okay? Predominantly sheep, but sometimes cows, sometimes horses, whatever. But shepherds at this period of time were the lowest of lowest society you could possibly get. We're talking not just poor, but filthy. Did not have clean clothes. Were considered majority the most unclean you could get. Why? Well, because they're always around animals and their wastes. Okay? They're constantly in that environment. Not only are they not clean and they're poor, but they're also not reliable because they're transient. They're constantly moving. They're never around. Well, they have to go where the animals go. So they're not reliable for things like being around when the government needs you for this or, you know, to be, you know, called to your civic duties or whatever. So they weren't ever even called on those things. Some other things to take into consideration. At the time, the administrators of all of the things that were holy was left to the priesthood, right? They were the enforcers of basically the law at the time. Well, to be able to come and be made clean, made right with God, there was a lot of things that you'd have to go through. The shepherds, most of the time, were not able to do that because they were either too poor, they couldn't afford the things they needed to get in order to have that privilege. They also were never probably available at the times when they needed to be. So the shepherds were really, really, really like excommunicated from any kind of building of a relationship or establishment with God Almighty. Now we're starting to get a little bit of a picture of why their significance and why not only were they the first to be invited, but they were the ones who were invited. See, Jesus came for them. Jesus came into this earth for those people. Those are the people he wants. See, the rich can think they can buy their way to heaven. They're highly mistaken, but Jesus died for the ones that couldn't get there. He died for those people. And so this is really where this is going. Okay? And here's the awesome part. And this is why I think this is really cool. Because in that last section of the verses, right, 15 through 18, the shepherds now have come and they bore witness to what they were told by the angels. Then what did they do? They went and told everybody. They were literally the first bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ's testimony. They were the first ones to go and share the gospel. How about that? How about that? The ones who were poor, lowly in spirit, had the least, were the first ones to spread the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean to us? What it means to us is that there's no excuse as to why we aren't sharing the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you don't need anything to get that done. You don't need to have something special. You don't need to be somebody special. You just need to be a poor, lowly shepherd who knows the Lord. Amen? See, that's what's awesome about this message today, right? The shepherds represented a people. They represented us, who we were and who we were when we first came to the Lord. Because although you might have thought you had everything, although you might have thought you were the best thing since sliced bread, like you were the top of the line, you were sharp, dressed, coming to church in your religious garb. That's why I'm wearing a Christmas tie. I'm trying to be as religious as possible. Absolutely not. No. But, you know, we put on those airs because we wanted to impress. But the reality of it is you can't impress him. Because what he's interested in is not external, it's internal. What he's interested in is who you are. And again, when you accept him as Lord and Savior and he redeems your life, who you will become. And that's what this is really all about. When we go back and we take a look at history and we see what was going on at the time, the reason why it was so paramount was because you're looking at a period of time where there was literally a elite separatism going on in the church, okay? There was segregation, it was very much a religious sect versus, you know, hierarchical grounds, and you're talking about like all kinds of areas of influences. And when Jesus even, you know, was walking and dealing with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, I mean, they were so trapped in their religion and their practices that the reason and the establishment for everything that they were standing for, they were doing the opposite of. That's why he was calling them out on the carpet all the time. It's like, well, these people are the people you're supposed to be helping. Well, they're unclean. What are you talking about? Like, that's your job. Go do your job. You know, he called them out. But they didn't want to, because it meant they had to lower their physical standard. And they weren't willing to pay that cost. But thank God Jesus was willing to pay that cost. Amen? Amen? And that even flowed down to the point where Mary and Joseph, now mind you, Joseph, he's a descendant of the house of David. He comes from a king's lineage, okay? This isn't like, he's not like just some, you know, bum off the street guy who doesn't know anything and is not respected or anything like that. But he goes and he's bringing his wife who's about to deliver a child, and they literally tell him, no, sorry, you're not welcome here. Now, yeah, that foreshadows Jesus' rejection and all that stuff too. But all these things happened to bring out a very important aspect of really what I truly believe this season's really all about. Because it's really easy to get wrapped up in all, and I couldn't help myself. It's really hard to get wrapped up in the gifts and all the presents and the giving and the sharing and the dinners and all those things. It's great. It's a wonderful time. And I'm not saying please do not enjoy those things. They're fine. Okay? But if we don't have this next area clear, and we're not all on the same page, we get wrapped up in a religious practice, and we're missing truly what the meaning of Christmas is. Go ahead, Dill. You guys might know these. I hope you do. They're called the Beatitudes. This is really what it's about. Because remember, if we take a big picture look now, these shepherds, okay, they're not the ones who have everything. But here's what Jesus did. He went and he got up on a mountain and he stood up high. Well, actually sat. He climbed up and then sat. And he told this to his disciples. Now, the significance of that, I'll let you guys march through your scriptures and you figure this part out. But this was given to them, and there's a reason behind it, okay? But I want to get, before we get into the actual reading, I want to take a minute, because what you're going to see is blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. Throughout, throughout, throughout. What does that actually mean? No, this isn't the dictionary. I'm not giving you that definition, all right? My crew knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. All right. But here's what is a good biblical way of translating this word, because it's really easy to take blessed, like, you know, oh, you're blessed, oh, it means you're like really happy and you're filled with joy, you know. Yeah, no, that's not what this really is about. This actually means having God's approval and support for a destiny that he's called you to. I'll say it again, okay? Blessed means that you have God's approval and support for a destiny that he has called you to. See, the reason why this is so cool is because you really don't have anything to do with it except obedience. That's the only thing you have to do. Accept it, believe it, and obey. And you have it. And the completion of that destiny is really his responsibility to fulfill. Amen? And in each of these descriptions of these groups of people, think about the shepherds. Just keep that in mind. All right? Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for... Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for... Blessed are the merciful, for they... And blessed are the pure in heart, for... Blessed are the peacemakers, for... Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for... Amen. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'll tell you what. You take each one of those, and you can reflect every aspect of your time where you were, where God's taken you. And look at these and hold on to these, because these are treasures. These are really, really deep treasures that God has given us. The poor in spirit, all right? Who are those? Those are people that are in need of God, those who are lacking. How many people are lacking? No matter where, I'm gonna be honest with you, okay? There's different translation of the same exact scriptures in another book, okay? And you read it, and it's different. It's not saying the same exact thing. It just says poor. You could read it either way. Poor in spirit, poor. You could read it one way that it's just those who are lacking in intimacy with God. Or people that are just poor. Just don't have money. Can't make ends meet. Struggling to get bills paid. I'm sure there's a lot of people right now that can put their hands up in that category. Amen? So guess what? What are you? If you're in that category, and you're holding on to those things, remember what it is. Blessed, right? Blessed is what? Blessed is the approval and support for a destiny that he called you to, that he also will fulfill. So when you are a person who is lacking, just because you are in that does not mean that's where you will be. Because the other side of that is yours is what? The kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God are all of the wealth and riches of God. All. Not some. Not a microcosm. Not a little bit. No, all is in store. That's where it's laid up. So, if yours is the kingdom of God, guess what? Then you should not no longer be poor in spirit, because you have everything that the king has. Those who mourn. Okay? A lot of times people translate this, people who've lost loved ones, things like that. Not actually where this is, okay? That's not what it means. We're talking about an actual deeper seated heart attitude towards those who are separated from God. These are people that literally are grieved. And this usually has to deal with people that have family members that are far away from God, those who are struggling with people they know, love, they're connected to, don't want anything to do with God. There's a mourn in our hearts. Why? Because we understand what that means if the world were to end today, that eternal separation. And we don't want that for them. These people who mourn, well, guess what? God will comfort them. How? He hears your prayers. He softens their hearts. Listen, I can tell you firsthand proof that that happens, because my father was one who was the furthest away from God you could possibly imagine. And my heart was in that category. I mourned for my father because I wanted him to know the Lord before he killed himself by all the things he consumed. And eventually, that was his demise, but thanks be to God, because his heart was softened and he found Jesus. And I know that I will see my Father again in heaven. That is my comfort. the meek, those who are not arrogant or prideful. Nobody here is arrogant or prideful, right? I'm the most humblest person I know. Right? So these individuals, they're not prideful, not arrogant. What do they inherit? They inherit the whole earth. There's a lot there. I'll let you just sit on that. All right. I'm not going to take all of the time here to go through all those details. There's a lot in there because it's a big planet. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are starved for a real relationship with God, not what's just supplied to them. How many people know people that go to church? No, I mean like they go to church. Like they go to church. They come home. They didn't take church home. They go to church, but they didn't bring church home with them. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? You guys understand? You met these people. You know them. Yeah. Like they go to church. They dress up to the nines. They come home. They curse like a sailor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Guess what? They're waiting. They're hoping that their Jesus is being supplied to them. They need Jesus supplied to them. Right? But they're starving. They're starving. They don't even have a Bible, and if they did, it's probably on a shelf full of dust. They don't know how to read it. They don't know how to feed their soul. They're starved. But those individuals who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they want it. There's a difference, right? Don't stay starved. These individuals who are starved, but they're hungering for it. They want it. They desire it, right? What will happen? They'll be filled. The Lord will fill them. Believe me, He has His ways, okay? You might be illiterate. God can still move in your life. Amen? There's a way for Him to reach you. He will reach you. Blessed are the merciful, okay? Those who don't judge regardless of truth, but extend mercy. Because they understand the mercy they received. Ooh. That's hard. That's real hard, isn't it? You know the truth. You know, oh, you sinners. Ooh. Ooh. But then you turn around and remember that line drawn in the sand. Shh. Ooh, wait a minute. I better watch myself. I can't talk. Judge not lest you be judged first, right? Right? Okay. So what do they get? More mercy. How many people just need more mercy? Right? I'm telling you, these gifts just keep giving. Pure in heart. Right? Pure in heart. Yeah, okay, I'll just make sure I didn't skip one. Understanding what it really means to be covered and washed in the blood of Christ. Making that dwelling place for the Lord in your heart. See, the heart is deceitfully wicked, right? So what's our job? Our job is to just keep cleaning house. How many people just love running vacuum? Dusting. Doing dishes. Picking up after your kids. I'm gonna keep going. I mean, come on. You with me, right? You just keep cleaning. The messes don't stop, right? You got a 3-year-old? You might as well just stand behind them and just pick everything up because it's just gonna keep hitting the floor. It doesn't matter. You could like attach a vacuum cleaner to the rear end, just like, and they walk behind it, just keep sucking everything up. That's a good invention. I think I might keep that. Right? But think about that. You just keep cleaning and cleaning. Why? Because you're making it a house of the Lord. Right? Your house is a dwelling place for the Lord. Your heart is a dwelling place for the Lord. You need to keep it clean. Right? But you do this, and what do you get in reward for that? You will see God. And that doesn't mean just, oh, you're going to see God move in your life. No, I mean like you will literally close your eyes, wake up and ooh, things just got real. Things just got real. Like people were amazed at that. Like you tell people, they're like, well, you really need to deal with that sin issue that's in your life. Well, I really need God to just show himself real. Okay. Deal with that sin issue in your life so you're clean and he can come and be in your life. Because he has no business with darkness. You understand what I'm saying? He won't be a part of darkness. So if you're participating in the works of darkness, he's not there. He's over there going, step out of the darkness and come into my light. You know what I mean? We have a responsibility. Okay? The peacemakers. These people rock. I'm gonna just bow to y'all. If you're a peacemaker, I bow to you. Cause you got some gift and talent in you, okay? These are the people that tear down boundaries, that separate, and recognize there's a provincial uniting of all under Christ. We're all red. Right? We all bleed the same color. We all share the same DNA. No ifs, ands, or buts. They're tearing down social systems. They're tearing down cultural systems. They're tearing down anything that can breed or deal with any form of separation. No segregation in Christ Jesus. Amen? We talked about that with the shepherds. There's no elitist. There's no I'm rich and you're poor. There's none of that. There's no Democrats and Republicans in Christ Jesus. Thank God. Amen? They don't exist. There's no political system in heaven. It's a one king. That's it. There's no need for any more. That's it. You have one king. If you can't figure that part out, then I don't know what to tell you. All right, that's you're gonna have to get used to that, I guess. I don't know. But that's it. So what happens? What are those people? They're called sons of God. Oh, come on. That's good stuff. Right? The persecuted. I like to tell anybody who's ever been persecuted, for Christ's sake, welcome to the ministry. He did it first. He told you so. You're going to have the same thing. He literally says it at the end of this. You should what then? If you're being persecuted, come on, what are we supposed to do? Come on, rejoice! Why? Because you are literally so good at being like him that they hate you just like they hated him. Good for you. Good. That's a good Christian. I like those type of Christian. They're dangerous. I want to be around those people. They're the ones that start fires. Not really. Don't do that. You get arrested for that. And then you have a prison ministry. Are we getting the picture? Are we starting to understand? See, what happened with these Beatitudes is that we were really given something truly tremendous and precious from the Lord. And it was passed through his disciples. And it was continued over and over and over and over for generation and generation and generation. And it's right here, clear as day, translated in so many languages, so that everybody can understand what truly was given to us. The real tremendous power in the gift that Christ gave us wasn't that we just receive him as Lord and Savior and we accept his forgiveness of sins and, we just walk through life dragging one leg literally behind us because we just keep it on the other side of the fence in case we ever want to hop back over. It's got to be really uncomfortable taking a fence with you everywhere you go. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine, like, literally you're straddling a fence everywhere you're walking, like you're carrying that thing? It's a nightmare. Don't do that. Hop over. Stay on one side. If we now know what being blessed truly is, which I think we do, right? Right? We'll hold on to that, write that down, highlight it. The real joy of Christmas, the true joy, is understanding how truly blessed you are. How truly blessed each and every one of you is. And it's really not because of anything that you could possibly do, but for everything that he does through you. Every bit of your life that you give up and you surrender to Christ Jesus and you allow him to walk through you to impact other people around you, that's your gift to hold. That's the gift that he gives you to treasure and hold on to every day of your life. And it doesn't matter how small your impact was or how great your impact was. Guess what? You may only be the one who turns around and does that one nice thing, that one kindness and that one gesture that starts as a catalyst. Remember, one watered, one seeded, one reaps the harvest. There's many people that will come across that person in their life. A lot of times, you might fall in somewheres in the middle, in the first, in the end. Doesn't matter. Don't think just because you didn't see it that it didn't happen. But remember that your reward was your obedience. And your obedience led to all those wonderful blessings that you receive. He fulfills every single need of our life. Every need. How many people know that? Every need. Every need is fulfilled through Christ. Every single need. There's not one area that he hasn't touched. Sickness, got it. Anything that is like ailing you. We're going to pray for Ed later because his back is hurting him. Guess what? Jesus, he redeemed that in Jesus' name. He's already being healed. He doesn't even know it yet. All right? Poverty, he's dealt with it. He's dealt with every single need we could possibly come to or imagine. I mean, you could go through the Bible. People are like struggling, all right? Struggling with all kinds of personal, intimate details of their life. He paid for every detail, every single detail of your life. There's nothing that's uncharted, okay? The reason he did it is so that you can supply him to someone else. If you're taken care of, then you're good. And if you're good, then you have nothing better to do than to pass the gift of Christ to someone else who needs him too. He's an indispensable gift for an indispensable people. You are indispensable. You are precious to God, and you are not alone. There is a world full of precious people that God loves and wants to see his son manifest in, because they all have a destiny too. We're all God's children. Each and every one who bears witness to Jesus and the testimony of his good news has a gift for someone in need. So my Christmas gift to you is that I just gave you that message. That's my Christmas gift to you. Now, my encouragement to you is to be that bringer of good cheer to someone who needs it today. Who needs that good gift of Christmas cheer? Because you have it. It's dwelling right inside you. And this is the gift that truly does keep giving. Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless. I want to wish you well. I hope you have a wonderful festive holiday. And if you need prayer, I will welcome you to come up here. Pastor Dan will be up here as well. We'll pray with you. We want to send you away with blessings. And I want to hope and pray that every single one of you have a wonderful, happy holiday with your family, your friends.